another podcast brought to you by the Psychological Society of South Africa.
And we're extremely privileged to have, talking about this, Ashwin Desai, who I think is well known to all of us. He's a professor of sociology at the University of Johannesburg and a well-known political analyst, commentator, and author. And in fact, I would urge all of you to look at his latest book, The South African Gandhi, Stretcher Bearer of Empire, which he has written together with Gulam Vaad and which has just been published. So if any of you have difficulty getting hold of it, contact the SAISA office because it really is a must read. So I have great pleasure in handing over to Professor Desai.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I must say that all of you clearly need therapy because this is the first time ever in my whole 56 years that I've been invited twice to attend and talk to somebody. I've always had one invite. I'm never invited back. The last time I was invited to the Sociology Congress was in 1959. So thank you so much. Let me say two things at the outset. That one of my favorite books is Alice in Wonderland, and it's 150 years since that book was written. And if you haven't read it, just go and read it, because every time you read it, different ages, different generations, different times in your life, you'll get new things. So that's one of my favorite books. The second favorite book, which I hope some of you have at least read, is Revelations in the Bible. And because it lifts my spirit and it gives me sort of new hope. So this story and this talk and these lines that I've poured over for you is derived both from those two books, but also Thuli Modonsela's great report on Inkandla. And of course we know that the two or three big stories in South Africa is that suddenly Parliament is at the center of our lives. And I'm so sorry that Minister John Jeffrey is not here, because this is a lot about him and his ilk. And of course, Inkandla. And this is where we go. It was quite a sight as President Jacob Zuma was driven to Parliament to give his 2015 Nation in the State address. Everything was in order. The entomologist, Baleka Mbete, was in place. Police disguised as penguins hid in a nearby room. And then the praise singers came. Here we had Thomas Mofolo's Shaka reincarnated for the 21st century. Hail, hail, this land is yours, child of my compatriot. You shall rule over peoples of diverse traditions, and all things shall obey you with unquestioning obedience and shall kneel at your feet. It was all going according to plan. In true South African style, members were color-coded. The aspirant bourgeoisie were dressed in red overalls. The representatives of white capital in black suits. Dr. Buthelezi, the last Zulu warrior, in drag. And rabid African nationalists of the ANC stood on their toes in Jimmy Choo's. The procession wound its way through the chamber. First came 10 soldiers clad in clubs. Next came the 10 courtiers. After these came royal children. There were 10 of them, and the little dears came jumping merrily along hand in couples. Alice was rather doubtful whether she ought not to lie down on her face. She remembered President Jacob Zuma saying, "When I was in Venda recently, I was so impressed to see how people there express respect for other people. A woman would clap her hands and even lie down to show respect." But then Alice thought, if people all lie down upon their faces, they couldn't see the procession. When the procession came opposite to Alice, the queen said severely, "Who is this?" "My name is Alice," ever so politely. But she added to herself, "Why, they're only a pack of cards after all. I needn't be afraid of them." President Zuma gave his trademark smile, evoking Shakespeare's Richard II, scoffing his state and grinning at his pomp. But then suddenly the president was asked to sit down. Point of order. Red Beret demanded that the president tell them when he would pay back the money. The Mad Hatter pleaded, "I'm a poor man from Inkandla. The bed were raised. Red berets all shouted in unison. The queen of hearts, she made some tarts all in a summer day. The leader of farts, he stole those tarts and took them away as they swayed this way and that way. Suddenly, men in black and white burst in the chamber to eject the cockroaches. The Jimmy Choos and Hugo Boos sang a lullaby, shaking their bums violently at every end of the line. Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes. He only does it to annoy because it knows it teases. The cockroaches were expelled, but the mystique of the man had already been doomed. In Hans Christian Andersen's The Emperor's New Clothes, it takes a small boy to cry out, but Dad, the Emperor is naked. These small boys and girls from the EFF have shown that beneath the kanga resides only weapons of self-destruction. But what lies under the red overalls of these small boys and girls? As one commentator put it, are they the new spears of Limpopo or just Limpopos that fall just as they are ripening? In Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, she wonders about the bottle's contents. She had read too much about simple rules and had not forgotten that if you drink much from a bottle marked poison, it is almost certain to disagree with you. But our president did not heed the warnings as his acolytes bowing and scraping convinced him that he had all the mooty. But then out of the blue, the nation woke up to the news that new U.S. doctors discovered poison. Our president needed more convincing. After all, the U.S. were old imperialist forces that made known their displeasure of number one. And so he decided to travel behind the Iron Curtain to seek the truth. It was appropriate. Like the Tsar's Russia throughout its history, the house of the Zulu had been obsessed with poison. Keats de Vries tells us that King Shaka had a valet called his insilla, his dirt, whose duty it was to receive upon all his body all nasal and throat discharges. He also had an Izzid Indabiso, a royal anus swiper, whose duty it was to hide away the royal stool so that evildoers could not take possession of it. Royal excreta had been much valued by the Abatagati. He also had servants who closely guarded the preparation and presentation of his food against the dangers of poison. President Zuma had his insilla, Sudumo Chicken Lickens Dlamini from Kosatu. His royal anus swiper, the red dwarf Bladen Zimande from the SACP. And those who guard against the poison, the two indonas, Baleka Cockroach Killer Mbete and Tandi Animal Farm Modise. But poison has an incredible way of weeding away at the most powerful defenses. It enters through your mind. It pours through the veins. It seeps into your bowels. And before you know it, it captures your life. You see, in every tyrant's heart, as in Prometheus Bound tells us, there springs in the end the poison that he cannot trust a friend. In Thomas Mofolo's praise poem, he ends with these words, oh yes, oi, oi, yet you must go by the right path. And when you do not, in Carolyn Hamilton's terrific majesty, she recalls the words of a contemporary of Shaka and Dingaan, Baleka, one who runs away. Baleka tells Dingaan, says that Dingaan called himself Mala Mulele, the intervener, because he had intervened between the people and the madness of Shaka. In Zulu history, there's always an intervener, someone emerging from amongst those closest to any leader. And tens of millions spent on security cannot save you because the poison is in the bunkers, the surveillance cameras, the chicken coops, and the swimming pools. Even worse, you begin to believe that the poison is in your bed. And when the poison enters your blood, no amount of showering can help. But here we are, down the rabbit hole, through the looking ass to Inkandla land. Just as Alice drank the liquid in the bottle and grew bigger and bigger, so the concerns of the house of Inkandla grow larger and larger by the day. What a place. What strange creatures reside here. Remember in Alice and Through the Looking Glass, we find a crooked man who went a crooked mile, a crooked cat and a crooked mouse, and sheep that leave their tails behind, pigs with wings, and a Cheshire cat without a body that constantly grins. Inkandla's animal farm, too, is a place full of danger and incredible delights. The chickens are actually intelligence officers. The flying pigs are in reality drones. The cows are in fact virgins in waiting who have their own private shower cubicles. Life just gets curiouser and curiouser. Yet despite all the hoopla about safety in Inkandla, Seven of the Spain-wielding consultants enlisted to dig for the money did not have a security clearance. But do not despair. All is not lost. As the Duchess Lindiwe Sisulu reflects, everything's got a moral if only you can find it. In a rare show of independence, some ANC MPs whispered that maybe President Zuma should pay back the money. I have a right to think, said one ANC MP. Just about as much right, said the whip, as pigs have to fly. Give your evidence, said President Zuma, and don't be nervous, I will have you executed on the spot. They shut up. The rogue Duchess Thuli, meanwhile, produced a long tale of woe, cataloguing the misuse of state coffers. Is it any wonder that the Public Protector's report reveals on page 52 that one of the contractors was called Money Mind? The rebuttal was swift and decisive. According to the chief architect of the new Kraal, Mock Turtle Makanya, this is how it's done in England. He had a point. But at Buckingham Palace, American and Chinese tourists paid to see the changing of the guard. But what will the Yanks and Chinese occupy themselves at Inkandla? The changing of the herd boys. Separate by equal is all the rage at Inkandla. The Modensella report, entitled Secure and Comfort, indicated the newly constructed kraal included separate areas for goats and cattle and even chicken nests. But apartheid-style separate development persists on African farm. Some snouts are more equal than others. Is it a coincidence that the chief architect of Inkandla doubles as a pig farmer? Enter Minister Nutty of Police. His report turned everything upside down and inside out. Listening to him reading out the report was like something from Wonderland. If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is because everything would be what it isn't. And contrarywise, what it is, it wouldn't be. And what it wouldn't be, it would, you see. The result, not a jot should be paid, according to the minister. The defences for Inkandla grow as thick as members of parliament. The communists argue that the whole saga is a capitalist plot against the alliance. The traditionalists point to the importance of the area in the history of the Zulus and their fight against imperialism. This was exemplified in June 2015 when King Zwelithini demanded that the Queen of England pay reparations for the destruction of Granddaddy Cetshwayo's palace at Undini. But listen to this from the words of Jacob Dlamini on Business Day, 27th of July 2015. Less exposed is the fact that in the sacking of Ulundi and the brutal onslaught that followed, there were Zulu collaborators, and among them the Zulu clan. Inkandla is actually the spoil of collaboration given to the Zumas for their role in the defeat of the Zulu kingdom. Now that the de facto head of the Zuma clan has a grander palace than the king, perhaps the Zulu king should ask for a bit of reparations too. The claim does not have to be in money after all. The Mad Hatter is a poor man. Perhaps President Zuma could just lend the king an architect. As Alice would have it, every single thing is crooked when it comes to Inkandla. Will Inkandla fall? Not if ANC MP Kobayi has a way. More monies will be spent, she demands, to put it back together again. What will happen to the temple at Inkandla? At the opening of a mall in Great Town, President Zuma said, "When I retire, I want to build my own mall and name it Zuma Square in Inkandla Town. Definitely I will build it. Our president loves malls." When President Zuma visited the Mapanya Mall, he spoke a new story. Here you can walk into world-class shops and buy what you want. You don't have to go to town or North Gate or South Gate, East Gate or West Gate. This is a story of our freedom. So there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Inkandla Shopping Mall at the Zuma Square is all about our freedom. But we warned those who seek to turn our temples into dens for money changers and shysters. Remember the book of John? Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found the people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers seated at the tables. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Destroy this temple, he instructed. The people who proclaim that they will rule till Jesus comes are busy rewriting the Gospels, ladies and gentlemen, not only turning our country over to money changers, but commodifying every aspect of our lives. Remember the book of Revelations? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. To the thirsty, I will give them from the spring of water of life without payment. without payment, the Lord may be blessed, turn water into wine, but these new converts now turn water into money. And this conversion is going on everywhere. Now the good Samaritan of medicine has to first check if the injured Jew has medical aid. And rather than redistribution, Jesus divides the fishes and the bread and sells them to the highest bidder. Or better still, B.E. comes straight out of biblical times as a Philistine fronts for a Roman. And we dare not turn the tables on the moneylenders, for that shall offend the markets. And we cannot be led across the Red Sea to the promised land because we have no money to pay at the e-toll. Or worse still, no unabridged birth certificate. Everything is a card for electricity, a card for water. Soon they will tell us we even need a card to meet God in the kingdom of heaven. And what will that card be? According to President Zuma in the Sunday Times of the 6th of February 2011, when you're carrying an ANC membership card, you are blessed. When you get up there to heaven, there are different cards used. But when you have an ANC card, you'll be let through to go to heaven. The former prophets of liberation are preaching a beguiling new gospel. Accumulate, accumulate. That is Moses and the prophets. But the further we dig, the more we question those who say they rule in the name of the gospel, the quicker they will be exposed, as Revelations 2.2 tell us, not as apostles, but as liars. The rabbit hole went straight on like a tunnel from some, and then dipped down suddenly, and suddenly that Alice had not a moment to think about stopping herself before she found herself falling down a very deep well. Down, 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 with a fall never come to an end. Bruce Whitfield points out, in Carnalize a media hint of a far worse public sector ineptitude. Incarnalize's failure to provide adequate power is costing the country 200 Incarnalize a year, or one every 43 hours. What Whitfield neglects to add is the extent of capital flight since 1994. That is anywhere between 20 and 25% of the GDP. Cried the Queen, faster, faster, and they went so fast that at last they seemed to skim through the air. Alice was getting quite exhausted. They stopped. Alice looked round in great surprise. Why, I do believe we've been under this tree the whole time. Everything's just as it was. The government has placed much store by faster and faster capitalism. An aerotopolis here, bullet train there, massive dugout port somewhere, stadiums everywhere. Capital must flow in and out with ease and speed. But the faster we go, the more we seem to stay in the same place. These are the quicksands of economic development. The faster you run, the more you sink. With government targets missing their mark, its own legitimacy under attack, and people eschewing institution for the streets, one can see why the government is keen on social cohesion and Ubuntu. We are now supposed to be living in a time of mounting freedom. Ironically, it is exactly at this time when we should be celebrating our liberty that there is a wish to straitjacket our desires. The government demands that we must all participate in the long walk to freedom. However, it must be done in goose step with a democratic majority, to steal Minister Ntwetwa's wonderful phrase. Deleuze and Guattari are spot on. This time that stimulates our desires and represses our thoughts can only but produce schizophrenics. Forget Tutu's Rainbow Nation of God, Madiba magic, Mbeki's I'm an African. We're all schizophrenics now. Left or right, we are all in it. This is what poison does. It envelops the whole body politic. Remember these memorable lines from Don Quixote. You're a madman, but you have the ability to turn everyone who has anything to do with you mad and stupid just like you. And what can we grasp from Alice in Wonderland 150 years later? Ariel Dorfman, who from the time of Salvador Allende's defeat has witnessed so many broken hopes, puts it beautifully. What we should rescue above all from Alice in Wonderland is its subversive, rambunctious humor. That same wildness, the same core questioning of authority that has inspired the insurrection and resistance and dissidence. The imagining of a possible parallel reality that does not obey the rules of society in dire need of change. The tendency, of course, is towards the opposite language and style and demeanor of the left, a heavy, ponderous solemnity, as if all the tragedies of history were weighing down. In this context, reflect on a wide-ranging article by prolific Marxist scholar Patrick Bonn, which gushingly ends with these words from a socialism conference in April 2015. And it is here where Andrew Chirwa, NUMSA president, ended his speech to the Socialist Conference. Formation of the proletariat into class, overthrow of bourgeois supremacy, conquest of political power with the proletariat. In Chirwa's hands and Bond's pen, it's as simple as ABC. Once more to the formulaic pedestrian language of the 1970s. If this is the language of the new imaginative anti-Stalinist left, one can only despair what goes down in the branch meetings of the South African Communist Party and the Young Communist League. As for the other left, they also have their holy trinity to guide us to the promised land. They are Marxist, Leninist, Fanonist, although it appears that the Fanonist rump have like Alice gone underground, hoping to grow bigger and darker away from the sun. Their new party is called Black First. I kid you not, in a country where 90% of the people are black, this is going to be a very crowded finishing line. In any case, have they not heard the biblical injunction, the first shall be last? Rather than this hodgepodge borrowed canon, Dorfman tells us now is the time to exult in our freedom when we have the chance, to revel in the thrill of breaking conventions and interrogating our beliefs, certitudes, and dogmas. In Kanla, in its attended language, asks us to stop thinking and participate in the charade of the House of Cards. As we plunge down the rabbit hole, the world is in illusions, words change meaning, and the truth is what the ruling party says it is. When I use a word, Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less. This is what Alice calls stuff and nonsense. What is a pilgrim to do in this time? Now more than ever, to question, to challenge, not only those who rule, but those who speak in the name of revolution. And for us in the academy, we need to contest those who seek to turn our work into units of production, who tell us we should be more adept at reading spreadsheets than social forces. To qualify as Mr. Dean, you have to be a Mr. Bean counter. To be head of department is not to imagine new ways of teaching and researching, but more innovative ways of scamming the budget. Everything is reduced to rands and cents. Write that down, the king said to the jury, and the jury eagerly wrote down all three dates on their slates and then added them up and reduced the answer to shillings and pence. How do we reinvigorate intellectual imagination as it is threatened, seduced even by the soundbite, the endowment, the professorial and lucrative consultancy career path, the new city each year conference of superficialities? And what about this complete and nutty idea that we need to regiment and quarantine our knowledge into narrow and narrow research areas so that we can get a higher rating? So many of us have become frackers, ostrich-like, digging deeper and deeper, hoping that we can push higher and higher up the pecking order from a C1 to a B and then an A to roll in the dosh. But surely we of the academy should be free rangers, constantly feeding our minds and not battery chickens, head down, gobbling up ratings from the trough of the NRF. Now more than ever, we need to heed the words from Jefferson Airplane, which was borrowed from Alice. When logic and proportion have fallen sloppy dead, and the white knight is talking backwards, and the red queen's lost her head, remember what the Dormouse said, feed your head, feed your head. Thank you.